Welcome to Control Intelligence, the control design conversation that goes deep inside the automation and technology that machine builders and system integrators rely on to keep machines humming. I'm Mike Bassador, Editor-in-Chief of Control Design, and in this episode, I have the extreme pleasure to be joined by the one and only Adrian Meyer, who's been the CEO of the Control System Integrators Association since June of 2025. Adrian is a nonprofit executive with more than two decades of experience in managing trade associations, membership communities, and standards development organizations, with a particular focus on organizations serving professionals in industrial automation. Adrian and I go back to her days with the Open DeviceNet Vendors Association, more commonly known as ODVA. CSIA has been the premier system integration trade association for more than 30 years and has hundreds of member companies in more than 20 countries. As its CEO, Adrian has been spending the past year working tirelessly to advance the system integration industry by driving adoption of CSIA best practices and certification, enhancing educational resources, and facilitating connections between peers through networking activities, which is evident in her relentless travel and meeting schedules with CSIA member companies. Adrian holds an MBA from the Stephen M. Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, as well as the Certified Association Executive designation from the American Society of Association Executives. Adrian, welcome to Control Intelligence.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And it's, you know, as we discussed beforehand, you know, we've known each other for so long. So this is cool to be able to have this conversation with you.
Absolutely. Long overdue, for sure.
Long overdue. Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, let's jump right into it then. After more than two decades in your leadership role at ODVA, managing global operations, standards development, and member communities, what lessons did you bring from industrial network protocol adoption that OEMs and integrators can use to scale their own engineering and project delivery operations to the Control System Integrators Association?
So I think one of the biggest lessons I brought from ODVA is that scaling is rarely about technology alone. It's about creating a repeatable framework that allows many organizations to work together effectively. At ODVA, my tenure there, I was able to see the advent of industrial Ethernet and the creation of Ethernet IP and growth of Ethernet IP. And that technology grew from an emerging technology into a global industrial standard because we focused on standards, collaboration, and conformance. And just like the other standard development organizations in the space, like Profibus International and the Fieldcom Group,
sure,
we created clear specifications, we developed communities where competitors and partners could solve problems together, and we established processes that ensured consistent outcomes for end users, which really needs to be the focus. What are we solving here?
Right.
And these principles apply to system integrators as OEMs and end users face increasing complexity from digital transformation and cybersecurity and AI and workforce shortages. The ability to scale is not just about throwing more engineers at it. It's about creating repeatable engineering processes, documented best practices and, you know, and quality systems that allow these organizations to deliver consistent results regardless of the project size or geography. And so as I'm here at CSAA, this is one of the reasons why CSAA's best practices and benchmarks manual and our certification program to those remain so important. It provides a common operating framework, like technical standards do in the SDO world.
Right.
It reduces variability, it improves project execution, and it gives customers confidence that they can expect a certain level of performance from a certified integrator.
Right.
I think another way, the thing that I learned through that is the importance of community. CSA, I'm probably going to say this a couple times because my members say it to me, you know, you give one idea in CSA, you get 10 back. And
right.
Industrial networking succeeded because manufacturers recognized that industry-wide challenges couldn't be solved in a vacuum, couldn't be solved in isolation. And the same is true for integrators today. The firms that are most engaged with CSIA and are the most successful are willing to learn from their peers, share experiences, and adopt proven approaches, that are proven throughout industry rather than reinventing every process internally. So CSIA's networks, benchmarking initiatives, and our conferences are designed to accelerate this. And I think the last thing I'd say is I learned that adoption happens when the value proposition is clear. Standards only succeed when they solve real business problems. They're not going to succeed just on their own. No one's going to adopt them. So likewise, system integrators that want to scale have to focus not just on technical excellence, but also on measurable business outcomes. How are you reducing project risk? How are you deploying faster? How are you improving cybersecurity, providing better lifecycle support and a stronger return on investment for customers? So whether you're developing a network or whether you're scaling an integration business, that formula stays the same. Are you establishing repeatable processes? Are you building trust through consistency? Are you fostering collaboration? And are you staying focused on the value that you're delivering?
I mean, the CSIA members are come in many shapes and sizes. I mean, not just in terms of scale, but even in terms of what the focus is. That focus can change from one quarter to another, depending on, medical equipment might be a great place to be working one day, and now data centers might be another at this time. I think their flexibility and the very difference of sizes makes the system integration industry one of the most interesting. And
It's really the glue. It's the glue that holds everything together. And if you got the basics right of how to run a business, that's where you're going to achieve.
Speaking of that, the system integrators, the companies are they're often founded by brilliant engineers who eventually find themselves running a complex commercial enterprise, which did not go to school and get an EE and learn how to run a business. So how has your MBA background shaped your own perspective on bridging that gap between technical execution and business management for engineering-driven firms?
So I'd say that my MBA taught me that great companies don't succeed because they're technically excellent. They succeed because they consistently turn technical excellence into business value. And that I can absolutely tell you, especially working with the more, involved firms in CSA, that resonates so clearly with them. Many integrators are founded by exceptionally talented engineers. And, they go out with their laptop and a dream, and their early success comes from deep technical expertise, and a willingness to solve problems that others can't. But as their business grows, the challenges shift. The founder who once spent all of their time designing systems or troubleshooting products has to now think about strategy and finance and sales and talent acquisition and development and succession planning and scaling and stuff like that. So my MBA, I'd say, helped me understand that business management and technical execution aren't competing. They're actually complementary. And small, strong businesses don't constrain innovation. They create a foundation that allows innovation to scale. I'd say I've seen a lot of business parallels between engineers and management in that engineers think of systems and process optimization and continuous improvement. And that's the su most successful in integration firms apply that to the business itself. They create repeatable processes, they establish meaningful performance metrics. There's a lot of discussion in CSIA about KPIs. They build leadership pipelines. They create financial discipline. over my shoulder. I've got a copy of Traction. I joined CSIA and people are like, have you read Traction? They want systems that work to help drive their firms. And I think running a business is in itself just another engineering problem. Like you're designing systems for people, processes, resources, rather than machines and networks, you're doing it for people. And the objective is the same. You want to create repeatable, predictable, reliable outcomes. And so that, kind of looping back to what I said previously, that's why the CSA best practices are so valuable to industry, is that they give integrators a framework for building these businesses that are as disciplined operationally as they are technically. The firms that thrive over the long term achieve both technical excellence in project delivery and business excellence in how they manage growth.
Perfect. Great answer. Great explanation for sure. You talked a little bit about the variety of system integration firms, and one of the aspects that I think is most interesting is your members are in more than 20 different countries. So ha having managed teams and operations on multiple continents throughout your association career, we were talking earlier about the French contingent and the pronunciation of your first name, in fact. What
Much cooler
strategies do you
France than
think?
it is here, me saying it myself. Yes.
What strategies do you think North American integration organizations should adopt when they're delivering complex automation projects across international borders or managing multinational client bases?
One lesson I think I've learned from working with teams, members, and partners around the world is that technical challenges are often easier to solve than organizational or cultural ones.
Yes.
Automation technologies are global now. They're increasingly standardized. They're globally available. And so what often determines project success is how effectively organizations can manage communication, expectations, and collaboration across borders.
Great
And
point.
so for North American integrators, I'd say the first priority is to develop a repeatable global project management discipline. We've had sessions. I'll probably talk today about all the great sessions we keep hearing at the CSA conference. And some of those are about what not to do. And I think one of the things you keep hearing on what not to do is, not have things documented. You want to have things documented. You want to be very clear. And so international projects require rigor around documentation, around change management, risk assessment, than you have in just a single region. And so things that might work informally okay, there's still risk there, but you need to formalize them as you're working across multiple countries, across languages, time zones. Also, I think that one of the things that global clients expect is local relevance. You can, as a multinational manufacturer or organization, you can deliver consistency across operations. You also need partners that understand regional regulations, business practices, workforce dynamics, customer expectations, the business practices, just, people, everybody has their own approach. Every country has their own approach. There's not one that's right or wrong or better or worse. And so you just have to understand what the standard is and adapt to it. So integrators, part of what CSIA helps foster is these relationships across borders. And so integrators that can build trusted relationships with complementary firms in other regions can often serve customers more effectively, while reducing project risk and expanding market reach. I think that cybersecurity is also an issue. When you have another consideration, you have to think about partners who can help you implement consistent security practices across facilities and geographies, and integrators that develop international or expertise in international standards and secure architectures will have a competitive advantage. But I think the most important point is that trust scales more slowly than technology.
Absolutely.
And so successful global organizations that invest intentionally in relationships with customers, employees, partners, creating alignment around goals, establishing clear accountability, building cultures that encourage transparency. That's where you're going to get the collaboration, regardless of the geographic distance. And so I do think that the opportunity for integrators is tremendous. Manufacturers are standardizing operations across global footprints. They're trying to simultaneously modernize their factories, connect to new technologies. We're going to probably talk a lot about AI, AI and data-driven decision making. So integrators that can offer those consistent outcomes across regions are going to be well positioned.
Yeah, I think the every culture just assumes that all other countries have the same culture, and they
Right.
couldn't be farther from the truth.
Right.
And that collaboration and that ability to understand and recognize that the people in that other country don't even think the same way that we think is a large step in or toward making that cultural change or implementing that technology that they might see it a different way than we see it here, or from one country to another. It's funny you mentioned cybersecurity too. The past few days, because of the wastewater treatment plant attacks, I've been talking about CISA, and
Right.
as we were about to talk today, I thought I cannot, I have to say CSIA, not CISA.
I have had a conversation with CISA, and that was very difficult to write the notes
I'm
back and
sure.
forth and get those correct. So yes.
Yes. Was
They
that what?
have some really great guidance for system integrators
Oh,
that
absolutely.
working to gather and make sure that our members know about. And there's really good resources out there. And Traction talks about taking time to work on the business rather than working in the business. And that is an area where really working on your business will, you don't want to, it's it You look tomorrow, you'll wish you had yesterday if you did the wrong thing or didn't prepare enough. So
Right.
it's worth that investment of time.
Right. Was the part where you were talking about what not to do, is that part of the hot stove presentations
Correct.
that
Yes.
you at the end of the
Yep.
count?
We
Yes.
had some amazing hot stove presentations. So for your listeners who are not familiar with CSA's conference, we run a conference once a year, and one of the more popular sessions that has been held. We try to hold it every year, but maybe it'll spread out in the future. I'm not sure. But if you come, we have it's called Lessons from Touching the Hot Stove, and it plays off a Mark Twain quote about I think a cat touching a hot stove won't touch it again, even though it's cold. Anyway, it's our integrator, our members will sit on stage and be transparent and vulnerable and open about the challenges they've faced, the issues they've had, the insurance claims they've had to file because of the things that they did. And what they're doing is the rising tide lifting all boats, giving one idea, getting 10 back. That, if you are able to give back to your fellow integration firms, it's going to make the experience better for all of your customers. And so they do share. This didn't work, and this is why, and here's how you can not make the same error going forward. It's an amazing session. It just really speaks to the ethos of CSIA in action.
Yes, absolutely. That community is it's really one of a kind.
It's a
I
special
don't
community.
know of another association that has that same type of community and that trusting nature of being able to hold a session like that.
So if you're an integrator out there and you're curious about finding out about how you can join this special community, I'm sure Mike will share my contact details.
Yes, yeah, big fan. So one of the other things that I've always found interesting about CSIA is the integrator, and you have a name for the supplier. Is it
Oh,
suppliers?
partner
Partner
members,
members,
we call them,
yes.
yeah.
Yeah. So having spent years working closely with the hardware and software suppliers at ODVA, before stepping into your role at CSIA, how do you view the evolving relationship between the equipment vendors and the system integrators who are the ones selecting their devices and then integrating them into machinery design for the factory floor.
So having, spent my first part of my career working with those firms and then coming to CSA, as you mentioned, we have the mission of CSA is revolves around the system integration firms, but we can't help them as efficiently without, an ecosystem that they can rely on and work with. So we have a small percentage of our members are what we call partner members, the device suppliers, the software suppliers, even the firms that want to target their business at system integration firms with regard to law firms and accounting firms and the like. What I would say is, having worked with those device manufacturers, software providers, and the like, is that relationship is becoming increasingly strategic and interdependent. Maybe in the past, it was more transactional. A vendor made a product, a system integrator chose it, an end user ran it. But now, with the pace of technological change and the increasing complexity of the manufacturing environments, they need to collaborate a bit more because manufacturers are asking for outcomes. They're not asking for products. They don't want a product. They want it, to make a thing at this, with these results. They want connected systems. They want data they can actually use and take action on. They want improved productivity, strong cybersecurity, as we just talked about, and greater operational resilience. So delivering those outcomes requires the vendors and the integrators to work together throughout the process, throughout a life cycle of a project rather than at isolated points. And what we talked about the glue, what makes system integrators particularly valuable is they sit at that intersection of technology and application. The equipment vendors understand their products really well, but integrators understand how multiple technologies need to work together within the reality of a customer's operation. And they're often the ones translating the business objectives into practical solutions and helping those end users navigate the complex technology landscape. At the same time, vendors are becoming reliant on integrators to accelerate the adoption of emerging technologies, whether it's, digital twins, cybersecurity, AI, blah, blah, blah. A successful deployment depends on an integrator's ability to incorporate those technologies into a complete solution that delivers business value. So we just talked about CSIA. One of the cool things about CSIA is that our membership brings together both of those groups. And we create an environment where system integrators, device manufacturers, software companies, service providers, as I mentioned, can build those relationships, exchange ideas, learn from each other. And those wouldn't happen if they operated independently. And I've seen firsthand how valuable that can be. Integrators gain early visibility into emerging technologies and what the roadmaps look like. And suppliers gain a deeper understanding of the challenges the customers face, in those real-world implementations. So that feedback loop helps vendors develop better products and helps integrator deliver better outcomes, and it, ultimately benefits the end user as well.
Yeah, certainly during the conference, at least, I can't tell you how many evenings integrators and hardware suppliers were, or software suppliers for that matter, were, had dinner plans because they were, out talking about business, but, a two-way street. It wasn't, an integrator going out to get a presentation from a vendor. It was, it was a conversation which entailed exactly what you were saying. Both sides have something to offer to the other in terms of helping to shape solutions that are applicable to the end user.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, and involving, that whole ecosystem involving the end user in there as well is also critical.
Yes, absolutely. As a certified association executive with a history of building consensus in technical communities, what leadership techniques have you found to be most effective when you're bringing competing integrators or engineering firms or technology providers together in order to solve those industry-wide problems?
One lesson I've learned is that meaningful progress rarely comes from everyone agreeing on everything. It comes from helping people align around a common goal that's bigger than all of them. When I was working at ODVA with technology suppliers or now with system integrators and industry partners through CSIA, the most effective leadership approach is to start with the problems we all share. The companies may compete vigorously in the marketplace, but they have the same challenges, developing talent, improving cybersecurity, advancing interoperability, and the like. And you have to, so you mentioned the Certified Association Executive. That's a designation that the ASAE provides those who
Right.
go through a process to train on the unique discipline of association management. And one of the interesting things about a corporate or an association, unlike a corporation, is that you don't have the authority to direct participants to a decision. You can't tell somebody, I need this. You members are volunteers. These stakeholders and these independent business leaders, you have to, success depends on influence, on consensus building, on creating value for a diverse community. You have to do that by listening, finding common ground, building trust among associations or among organizations, among these companies that might be competitors in one setting and collaborators in another. And you do that by framing around shared challenges and industry-wide opportunities. So you can't come in, start debating what solution is best. I have seen, conversations where if somebody's coming in with a solution rather than coming in with, here's the problem to be solved, it doesn't go as far because, you don't have buy-in from other entities. So you have to create an environment where everyone is heard and respected. And, engineers, business leaders, they'll bring in different perspectives to the table. And it's in the differences that you find value. Like, if everybody says the same thing and says, thinks the same thing, why are you collaborating? It doesn't make a difference. So if you're able to set a framework and a foundation, that's really what my experience in associations has tried to do is to create that level playing field where people can come together and trust the process, feel, that's the magic of CSA is where you feel, you understand that you can trust your fellow members, that there's a expectation of ethical business practices, and that you can work together to create something greater than you, then that's where the magic happens. And that is where I appreciate CSIA, how it that collaboration and competition can coexist here. And that they, even though they're competing for business, they're sharing insights about leadership and the like. And ultimately, building consensus is not about persuading people, and it's more about creating the conditions for alignment.
Right. All great points. And a great segue into my next question. Because certainly one of the more impressive things about CSIA has been the CSIA best practices and certification, which certainly could never have been accomplished without that kind of collaboration and without that kind of input from member companies. They're considered the gold standard for running a profitable, low risk integration firm. And you talked a little bit earlier about some of the newer technologies that integrators are privy to because they have these relationships with the solution providers. So, are there any plans to update the best practices and certification benchmarks in order to address engineering challenges for things like the ones you talked about, such as AI adoption, cloud-connected control architectures, or international cybersecurity compliance requirements.
So I think the important thing to note about CSA best practices and the certification program is that they've evolved alongside industry, and they're designed to capture and scale what has been proven to work in the real world. So we let the innovation happen in the marketplace, and then as CSA, we translate what happens into lessons about repeatable business and operational practices. So, as our members are actively exploring AI and cloud connected architectures and all those good things, that's what helps shape the evolution of the best practices. So, as new technologies mature and adoption grows, we evaluate how the impact project execution, risk management, and business operations. So, there is a little bit of a leg there because we want to present what is proven. That said, cybersecurity is a particular area of focus, and our upcoming version 7 of the best practices, which is planned for next spring, will have significantly expanded guidance to help integrators address cybersecurity risks, governance, operational requirements. And this will include considerations for connected systems, cloud technologies, and the like. So standards such as 62443 and NIST frameworks, as they continue to evolve, CSI will help integrators understand how those requirements affect their business and project delivery models. And our goal is not to dictate which technologies sh members should adopt, but to help them implement new technologies responsibly, to manage risk effectively, and to build sustainable, profitable organizations.
And I
Yeah, I
certainly
was going
hope
to say
that.
that's how the best practices remained relevant, and that's how they're going to continue to evolve.
Right. And I certainly hope that the best practices on cybersecurity include something to the effect of not connecting PLCs directly to the internet without some sort of gateway or
You're not
and
pick
to
up the
change the
USB
password.
stick in the parking lot and stick it into your laptop. Yes, something like right.
Yeah, certainly. You talked a little bit earlier about scaling, and certainly for integrators, I mean, scope creep is a very real potential risk. But automation projects frequently suffer from that, from volatile component pricing, maybe from client side delays. How does CSIA help integrators to improve project scoping, pricing models, risk management, any of those types of, risk management type, for lack of a better term, risk management type of things in order to keep, especially the more complex builds, profitable?
So I've been, as you noted, I've been spending a lot of time trying to meet integrators in their facilities. Even like vacations, I sort of like, okay, who can I meet in this particular area?
Right.
Tag it on. So I've had a lot of conversations. I'm going to continue to do them. Got two more scheduled for next week. One of the things I've learned from integrators when talking to them is that technical execution, as I mentioned, that's not what determines whether a project is successful financially. Projects run into issues when, factors that are difficult to control, changing customer requirements, supply chain disruptions, workforce constraints, compressed schedules, things that you've talked about. So the question isn't how to eliminate risk, it's how to manage it. And that's where we provide an important thing. We've talked about the best practices. Every integration firm is unique. Many of the underlying business challenges are more remarkably similar. So adopting the best practices, getting certified, learning from the peers that you can learn from in CSA, our educational initiatives, we're trying to help integrators adopt proven approaches for project management, for contract management. We just had a great session through our Emerging Leaders Special Interest Group about contract management, just I think it was last week, the week before. So we're trying to, provide those bits of information, ways to connect, to learn, financial oversight, organizational governance. So one area of focus that we've covered at the conference and elsewhere is project scoping and requirements definition. And CSA's best practices encourage disciplined project management, disciplined project planning, documentation, customer communication. So you have these clear objectives, clear responsibilities, clear success criteria. And we're also seeing increased interest in project risk management and commercial strategy. So now, as you mentioned, integrators are navigating a world where component lead times, pricing volatility, labor availability can change over the course of a project significantly. And so what we're trying to do is provide information and then create a forum for members to exchange practical strategies around contract language. That's one of the things we just had a law firm present on. Escalation clauses, contingency planning, change order management, things like that. So I think, one topic that comes up is to change in the ongoing change from a project mindset or project-centric mindset to a portfolio mindset. The most successful firms aren't managing the risk of a single project. They're developing systems that allow them to evaluate risk continuously across their entire business. So that includes project selection, resource allocation, financial forecasting, and measuring project performance against established metrics. And so that's where CSA members can really learn a lot from each other. And, as we discussed, the strength is our members do openly discuss those successes and failures. And, when you can share both, then you improve, you increase that ability for you to achieve profitability through both excellence in engineering and in business management. And, at the end of the day, customers hire integrators to reduce risk, not create it. And so the better we are as an industry in scoping projects accurately, maintaining change effectively, executing predictably, the more value we create for both our clients and our businesses. And so that improves the entire automation business.
Absolutely. I held a webinar not too long ago where Karen Griffin from Hargrove and Brian Romano from AGR
Both amazing
were
people.
two of the
Absolutely.
panelists, and the supply chain was the topic. And I have to admit, I was blown away by their expertise in supply chain management and in just the, like, I wouldn't really call them backup plans, but just the breadth to which they manage the supply chain and look to, potential gaps and have everything covered well in advance. I mean, both engineering marvels in their own rights, but their ability to handle the business side in terms of availability was it was just jaw-dropping.
And that really gets to the portfolio management. If you're able to look across your business and not just think about specific projects you can execute, but how those projects all interlink and how you drive your business globally, the better you're going to be.
Absolutely. The Industrial Automation Exchange connects manufacturers with qualified system integration companies and suppliers. What initiatives do you have planned to help end users understand the difference between hiring a certified integrator versus, I don't really mean to just call them a low bid contractor, but
Okay, right.
yeah, between a, a certified, a CSIA certified integrator and someone who's not a CSIA certified integrator.
So to give a little context for your question, the Industrial Automation Exchange is a function of CSAA. It's linked through to our website, and it's a searchable database of all integration firms. And you're able to go in there and say, hey, I want somebody who knows, Schneider Electric and can build panels, and they're in California, and X, 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 Y, and Z, Zappos it a little bit. And get down to what it is you need. And so that directory provides a really critical resource to industry for us to promote integration firms that know what they're doing. And so I think, one of the biggest opportunities we have as an industry is to help manufacturers better understand what they're really buying when they select a system integration partner. And, the two that examples you gave on the surface can appear similar. Like, but what really differentiates a successful project from a difficult one is not the hardware selected or the initial price, it's what's underneath. What are the processes and business practices and project management disciplines that sit behind the solution? And that's why CSA developed a certification program. That's why we invest so heavily in it and talk about it a lot. We have research that shows that those firms perform better on a range of different KPIs than non-certified firms. And we truly believe in it because so CSA certification isn't a technical certification on an individual engineer. It's an audit. It's a comprehensive evaluation of your company's business and operational practices. It examines, we've got 10 different disciplines. It examines project management, quality systems, financial management, cybersecurity awareness, as you had mentioned earlier, documentation, communication. And the goal of it is to give end users confidence that the certified integrator has an organizational maturity to consistently deliver successful outcomes. And then if you're partnering with them, they're going to be in business, when you need to go back to them and you need to, do the next project or tweak something or whatnot. So through the Industrial Automation Exchange and other initiatives, we're working to educate manufacturers that selecting an integration partner should be based on overall value and risk reduction, not just the simply the lowest bid. The lowest initial price can sometimes be the most expensive option if the underlying foundation isn't there, if there's scope changes and schedule delays and et cetera. So CSA, I see several opportunities for us to strengthen that message as we go. It's a strong message, but we want to continue to increase awareness of what CSA certification represents to industry and why it matters. So thank you for inviting me here to talk about this because it's really important. Many end users recognize the quality certifications in manufacturing, but they may be less, familiar with the concept of certifying business practices, rather than just a technical or a product stamp. And we think that, we're going to continue to talk about how there's better business outcomes through disciplined project execution. We're going to continue to help integrators share success stories. Manufacturers respond to evidence. They want to see how did demonstrating strong project management help me reduce risk? And so we're going to continue to talk of those stories. And then we're going to continue to help manufacturers identify qualified integration partners through this exchange. Kind of beyond connecting buyers and providers, our goal as CSA is to help end users make informed decisions based upon capabilities, experience, expertise, and proven business practices. And when, peer validation is super important. So when manufacturers hear from other manufacturers about the value of working with a certified integrator, conversation shifts from cost to outcomes. It becomes less about hourly rates and more about here's where we had success. And so I think, when manufacturers are thinking about things, it's less, how can I get it for this price, and more, who can deliver the desired business outcomes with the least risk and the greatest likelihood of long-term success. And so that's where our certified integrators differentiate themselves.
Certainly, and CSA does a great job of educating those end users in terms of what it is that a certified system integrator brings to the table. In addition, I'm going to make a nice segue here. In addition to educating the end users, CSIA also does a nice job of educating internally within system integration firms. I mean, beyond technical recruiting, many integration firms often struggle to train the project managers or sales engineers or even their own business leaders. How is CSIA's professional development and networking programs helping members to firm to build up sustainable leadership pipelines?
One of the most common conversations I've had this several times when visiting integration firms, is that, they're not talking to me about technology. They're talking about people. And most firms know how to develop strong engineers. The bigger challenge is helping those engineers grow into project managers, into develop business developers, into department leaders, future executives, who can guide the company. We've had several sessions on this at the CSA conference on how to develop your people, how to keep your people, retain your people, again, get people. As the industry continues to evolve, leadership development has become a strategic priority, and the workforce challenge isn't just developing technical talent, it's creating a pipeline of leaders who can manage these customer relationships, mentor teams, oversee complex projects. And those are so critical to long-term success, but they're learned differently. So that's where CSA is uniquely positioned to help. Our strength comes from bringing together the business owners, executives, project managers, engineers, industry partners who are all facing these same challenges. And at our conference, where we have many, many educational sessions, but also around the globe and all year long, around the year, we offer educational webinars and networking communities that members can gain both formal and informal real-world experiences on how we've addressed those challenges. And I've mentioned the CSA conference is one of the most powerful leadership development opportunities we offer, where there we of course emerging technologies and industry trends are talked about. Much of the value comes from both the educational sessions that address these issues, but also the conversations that happen between sessions. Future leaders have the opportunity to interact directly with company founders, CEOs, senior executives who do openly share lessons they've learned about growth, about succession planning, about project management and sales and talent development. And those relationships last long after the conference and become an important source of mentorship and professional growth that CSA fosters. And so we do complement those in-person experiences, as I mentioned, with year-round professional development through our webinar program, online educational offerings. But what I'd say is one of the key benefits of CSA's membership is the ability to learn from peers. Because one project manager at one company is going to struggle with the same customer communication issues as another that has already solved that. And so, we really recognize that leadership development needs to extend beyond technical competence, and that, we help, integration firms strengthen their business acumen. I think also because, I've talked about the two project managers, but also important diversity of CSA, or important advantage of CSA, is the diversity in the community. We
Absolutely.
have, as you mentioned, the technology partners, the system integrators. Like, through these events, you can get information in a way that, you might not necessarily be able to get elsewhere. So looking ahead, I see mentorship, networking, and continuous learning is going to play an even greater role in what CSIA does and in leadership development. And, we're going to work to create that sustainable growth. It's more than a pipeline of engineers. It requires a pipeline of leaders. And so that's where we're here to help position our member companies better.
Sure. The CSIA obviously has done a great job of not only bringing those peers together and sharing information, but then also documenting it, things like the best practices, really creating a library that is available to members, for things like professional development or technical problems. I mean, it's just such a great resource. I can't go on and off. Sorry to keep
You can go on. You can keep going.
fawning about the association. Final question for you then.
Okay.
As machine builders, integrators are adding more technologies like edge computing, IoT software, even predictive maintenance tools, which were once, handheld gadgetry that reliability technicians carried around a factory floor. Now there's sensing equipment that's being embedded directly on the machinery. Where do you see the primary growth opportunities for independent system integrators to be over, say, the next decade?
Well, I definitely see this creating more opportunities for integrators and not fewer. For years, the value of the integrator was connecting hardware, programming control systems, bringing individual pieces of equipment online.
Right.
Those capabilities remain important, but as we've discussed previously in this conversation, manufacturers today are increasingly focused on turning operational data into business value. So, as machine builders embed more edge computing, more IoT capabilities, predictive maintenance tools, intelligent software directly into the equipment, manufacturers gain access to more data than ever before. But the challenge is those facilities don't operate a single machine or single vendor's technology. They operate complex environments made of equipment of like multiple suppliers, developed and deployed over many years across multiple sites. And so that's where independent system integrators provide tremendous value. The biggest growth opportunity for integrators is to serve as technology orchestrators. End users need partners who can connect data from disparate systems, integrate operational technology with enterprise systems, develop meaningful analytics, and help create a united view of operations. The future isn't connecting one machine, it's connecting the entire business.
Right.
Also, as we mentioned, another major opportunity is cybersecurity. As more devices become connected and more data flows between edge and cloud and enterprise, however, wherever the manufacturers feel comfortable with that, the manufacturers face, security challenges, as we, noted earlier. So integrators that develop expertise in secure architectures, risk assessment, network segmentation, cybersecurity governance, they're going to become even more valuable strategic partners. As what one of our main keynote sessions at CSA conference did talk about this as one significant area of growth is in lifecycle services.
Sure.
Many integration firms generated revenue through projects, but customers are looking for long-term partners who can help them optimize, help them think, monitor performance, support software updates, manage those cybersecurity risks, and help them continuously improve systems over time. So, predictive maintenance technology create these new opportunities for integrators to provide ongoing advisory and support services rather than just I do a project to move on. So,
Right.
in all of this, we can spend days and days talking about artificial intelligence and advanced analytics, but that's a new exciting area, and AI can generate valuable insights, but it still requires people. It still requires
Right.
trusted experts to understand the manufacturing process, data quality requirements, operational realities of the plant floor. And system integrators are uniquely positioned to bridge the gap because they understand the technology and the business objectives. And that human element is going to become more important as technologies become more sophisticated. Manufacturers are going to need trusted advisors who can evaluate competing solutions, develop implementation strategies, manage organizational change, and integrators have always solved technical problems, but increasingly they're going to help customers solve business problems as well. And from CSA's perspective, one of the most encouraging trends I'd say is that our members are already mo moving in this direction. They're expanding beyond traditional controls integration to digital transformation consulting, cybersecurity services, and software development, long-term operational support, and the like. And so they're becoming strategic partners in their customers' modernization journeys. And ultimately, machine builders are going to make that equipment smarter, and that's a positive development for industry. But taking that greater intelligence at the machine level, that creates greater complexity at the system level. And the organizations that can bring all those technologies together across machines and facilities and business systems, that's going to be essential. And that's where the next decade, as you mentioned, that's going to be tremendous growth opportunities for CSIA members and independent system integrators, for them to help create, the winners aren't going to just simply automate a machine. They're going to create, connect technology, connect data, business outcomes across an entire manufacturing enterprise. And that's where system integrators do their magic.
Certainly. As you were talking, I was thinking, I can remember it's been several years now at the CSIA conference where, people like Renato and Sam and Brian Romano have been there's been a digital track. And that was I can remember at first it was kind of, here's what we're doing digitally, but it's really evolved into, it's really a fundamental part of every type of automation. And even it, you were reminding me of, probably 10, 15 years ago when I would go to a conference and someone would be talking about maintenance. And this would be at a, at a controls automation conference. And I would think, oh, really? And it turned out they were talking about maintaining the control system. That conversation has totally changed now that a lot of the equipment, a lot of the sensing devices that were inherent in machinery before, people started to figure out things that you could use, a VFD to gauge power usage just the kind of data that you can get from devices that can tell you, hey, this asset needs someone to look at it because it's an outlier now. There's something going on, and there could be a bad actor over here that you need to address before it shuts down the whole operation. And system integrators are the perfect type of firm that they speak that language. They speak the maintenance language. They speak the controls language. They speak the enterprise language. They speak the IT language. They have that total package of expertise that a lot of the more individualized companies might not.
You mentioned Sam Hoff and Renato Leal and Brian Romano. They've been doing work within CSIA. We had a committee called the Digital Transformation Committee for many, many years. And they actually, I think this is a marker of CSIA, that they just recently redid their charter and rebranded the committee as a Digital Innovation Committee. And that they, I brought this up so that I could read it, that they provide forward-looking guidance to the CSA community on anticipating and leveraging emerging technologies to innovate their businesses both internally and externally to create sustainable long-term competitive advantage for their clients. And I think that, that's exactly where they are. That's a brilliant example of CSA integrated companies working together to figure out where are things going. How do we work together to leverage them for better business outcomes for our clients?
Absolutely. Well, great answers as always, Adrian. It's been a real pleasure. Certainly, thank you for joining me for this conversation today.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Anytime, looking forward to it, and I look forward to seeing you at next year's conference.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, thanks for joining me on this episode of Control Intelligence. If you've enjoyed this episode of Control Intelligence brought to you by Endeavor B2B, don't miss our older episodes, and you can subscribe to find new podcasts in the future. You can find our podcast library at controldesign.com, or you can download all episodes on Podbean or via Apple Podcasts or Google Play. Thanks again, Adrian.
You're welcome.